All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you can see here from all the key grips and boy grips and everything around here, is that I'm making a movie.
Oh, awesome. I'm really happy. You finished the screenplay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been talking about it forever.
It's called Cole, The Awful Truth. And we're looking to moving into production.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's just a name. The it's a documentary about mines.
Oh, okay. Well, audio, that really messed me up here.
No, it's okay. Yeah. I'm glad you bought it. The so I have over here this camera that's on a dolly.
Okay. Yeah, and, no, that's good.
I've got it rigged up.
Some good
to
shocks
help us
here. Let me kick that. Yeah. No good.
Yeah, yeah. I've got it rigged up to kind of choose our next game.
So neat.
Got the camera, and it's pointed at this corkboard that has, you know, all these index cards with different names of games on them. And I just figured, I thought, you know, we're usually we do things randomly. I thought that maybe we, you know, deserved a break. So as you can see, there are all these really fun games up there. You know, we got our MC Kids and we got our, you know, things that people might suggest but are actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and pretty much games based on McDonald's up there. So I want you to.
Oh, there's a Burger King there too. Sneak King.
Yeah, huh. Sneak King. Like all these games that are kind of, you know, pretty fun. I want you to take the camera and try to turn it towards one of those fun games.
All right, I'll just grab this. Man, I haven't done this since college. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll take this and.
I
overshot it.
You can't regular shot it. Huh. It's a trick camera, Cole.
Wait a minute, it's just moving on its own. What's happening, Gary?
It doesn't matter what you do to the camera, it just goes on its own, and now it's pointed at Rascal.
Oh, it's just zooming in. Gary won't stop zooming in. No, it's at the molecular level. Fuck,
yep.
fuck.
Now you can see all those microbes. Welcome to hell. Look at all those germs that are all over my movie studio. Welcome to hell, clean boy.
To hell, clean boy. Gary, I can't tell you how many times I've been in my cups and been very close to clicking accept on cashing out a shopping cart on Amazon that contains a black light flashlight. I feel like that even in my weakest moment, I know that that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, you don't want to find all the deposits I left in your apartment. Like,
wow, the ceiling.
I've got one of those because of back when I used to live with my ex-girlfriend, looking around for urine.
Oh.
It's her pets peed on things in a way that luckily my little angel does not. Generally, he did that one time, but
that's just, I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, no, it's okay. He did actually do that one time, but that's the only time other than when he had like kidney stones or urinary tract crystals or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like when we get them as humans, they're stones.
Mm-hmm.
When cats get them, they're crystals.
Because they're magical creatures.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's the same way that it's like they create orbs out of the urinary tract. Like it's really up there.
And Gary, if you look over here, the furnaces of Atlantis were powered by cat crystals.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what kept the water out.
It sounds really great, but it's actually pretty gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rascal.
But Rascal. Yeah. So, Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield. Hold on a second. I'll do it. Fuck.
I know you. We're long past it.
No, I know. I'm just.
Okay.
Fuck you, Rascal. Fuck you, bubblegum kid.
for our listeners in glorious Nippon.
Yes.
Yeah.
not the listeners.
No.
The bubblegum, the titular kid.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. And this week we are playing Rascal for the PlayStation.
You know, Cole, if you keep on like this, I'm going to start thinking that you liked Rascal. I'll do it. Why are you doing this to us?
Okay.
Oh, like, did you like Rascal? Is that what's going on here?
No, I just forgot the format.
Okay. Like, you're skipping all of the parts that underline how awful Rascal are.
Oh yes, how awful Rascal are.
Yeah. How awful Rascal are.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fuck the okay, huh. Wow. Yeah. So there's some parts about Rascal that I admire.
Okay. Go on.
Such as Garrett was the person who won the raffle and selected this game for us.
What does Garrett have to say?
Well, Garrett has to say that he can't really remember why he wants us to play it, except for the fact that it is probably the worst platformer on the PlayStation, and that the main character reminds him of Zeke from Zombies Ate My Neighbors because of his green pointed hair and his general radness. Yeah. And he talks about the castle and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is a rad little pro tag. And he's created by the Jim Henson Creature Shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, have the mighty have fallen. Like, that used to mean something. Yeah.
Created by the Jim Henson Creature Shop. I think that they were trying to hop on that croc money.
Yeah, them gopos ain't gonna feed themselves.
No. Like, those tribbles. Yeah. Gary, this is a return of one of our favorite houses, developed by Traveler's Tales and published by Psygnosis,
yeah.
Psygnosis making a mighty return, and you can pretty much tell by looking at it because it looks good for the system that it's on, but it plays like garbage.
That's the Psygnosis touch. It's also really Traveler's Talesy because mm-hmm. I knew that name and I was like, why do I know Traveler's Tales? But they're the people who do all the Lego games, of course. And this feels like it could use like the same engine,
mm-hmm.
like of movement and stuff. Like the camera, I think is aggressive, like very aggressive and antagonistic.
It's
like,
execrable.
Yeah, it is one of the worst cameras in a game that I've played with, I think.
And also one of the worst movement modes, because it's not tank controls. No, turning left and right actually makes you run kind of in those directions, but pressing back makes you back up.
Yeah, it's like half tank. It's like you're a reaver. Like you're just a tank on the bottom, and then from the top, you're all X-Men villain fighting the Australian X-Men. it is so the concept of this, like you're this little shit and you
little piece of garbage
should have been drowned as a baby, and you live in this big empty house full of locked doors. And I guess like I was looking at the story online, which none of this stuff comes really across in the game, or at least that I saw, where I guess it's a time travel doctor. You live with a mad scientist. Yeah. It's his thrall.
It's very similar to the opening of Quantum Break or whatever that portal like game was for PC.
Quantum Conundrum.
Yeah, Quantum Conundrum. It's remarkably similar to that.
Okay. So you just kind of go through these little time travel portals to go back in time and collect keys,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can tell. With just like the shittiest control and camera,
like yeah,
super super garbage. Like
so, you're running through what is mostly these tiny rooms that are filled with hazards that you want to avoid. Except you're so loosely running around into things that you cannot see that you're going mm-hmm. to carve away all of your life heart.
Yeah, you're 100% going to just get hit by things that you don't expect or understand. Like this is just like
cancer.
Like, yeah, like exactly. Bad things are just going to happen to you and you don't know why, and there's no benevolent god or hell to explain it or contextualize the suffering that you're going through. Like it's just bad things happening to you as you play Rascal.
Yep. You just step on a spider and die.
Yeah. Yeah, or like if you jump on a spider you live, but god help you trying to like land on, because you know, here's the theme of Duck Feed for this month. 3D platformers are hard mm-hmm. to make. Like this is a hard thing to get into. I get mm-hmm. it. So like this didn't come out, this came out after Mario 64. It came out after the Japanese version of even like Mega Man Legends, which is a game mm-hmm. like I wish I learned from Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
But this didn't learn from either of them.
Like no.
there were examples, there were ways to do this. You could be a Croc's Legend of the Gobos.
Yeah, well, I mean, Croc controlled very similarly, actually. Like Croc had the tank controls.
Mm.
Spyro was roughly contemporaneous with this as well, and that control's great.
Yeah, Spyro is kind of fun to move around in. Like Spyro has a level design problem, not a control problem.
Right.
You know, this has both. Like you get like the zero to sewer level, like whatever that ratio is so short in Rascal. Like, and it seems like fun because you're gonna go into a castle, but that castle immediately opens into a sewer. It's like you get catfished, man. You get castle fished by the sewer.
You
that's
get
fucking Rascal by this little shit.
This little shit just leads you into the sewer. Like,
you want to go hang out in a castle? Uh-huh. You can be my dad now. Let me hold your hand. Now we're in a sewer.
It's like he's acting as bait for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I could see Rascal being a thrall of it.
Oh, he's like a Renfield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like sitting in a pile of his own like unchanged diapers, just eating flies. Like, you know, getting liquid sustenance from his bubble gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trying to kill himself and only quenching his thirst.
Yeah, no, that's a fate too good for Rascal.
Yeah, Rascal deserves every bad thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're doing this game before the next one, where something very bad happened to somebody who I love very much.
Yep.
But nothing bad ever happens to Rascal. He's fucking frozen in amber. Rascal's immortal, and I hate it.
Wait, so you're wondering if David Bowie was a fictional creation, he would be safe from this?
No, I want David Bowie, the real person, to be safe while Rascal, the fictional character, suffers.
Okay. You can write fan fiction, man.
I could probably get the rights to Rascal.
I don't know. Like, that's probably pretty locked up pretty tight. I think it probably reverted to Henson.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you mean of the character, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the property, the other grand ideas that are, you know, apparent in Rascal, perhaps. Yeah. I could get, but
yeah, so you can make a young character that wears a different color of shades and uses a cap gun and call him Rastabout.
But the actual, to make bad things happen to Rascal,
yeah,
like if I need to write, if I need to make sure it is in canon that Rascal slowly dies of cancer surrounded by David Bowie's wife Amon, then like, it's just gonna be, that's gonna take one hell of a Kickstarter, like,
to do so. I think that if we just show people footage of this game, they'll be down.
Yeah. I hate the Rascal. I don't know, man. tell me where the things you like about the Rascal.
Oh, it's mostly just the way it looks. Okay. Like the design of the characters is abysmal, but it's kind of got that Psygnosis touch. Like the villain, what's his name? Like Cronon or whatever. it's a vaguely head shaped polygon, that is wrapped with just a photo of a dude's face, which mm-hmm. makes this very, very unsettling Jafar like countenance as he like looms in and out, like, especially on the game over screen. But even as you're running around, everything like moves very smoothly. It's got like a really high res texture to it. Like, the environments look great, even if moving around in them is not, you know, that satisfying. And even some of the enemies animate pretty well. It's just everything everything that is related to your actual goal is garbage. Like, Rascal looks terrible. His uncle looks like a bowling pin with a mustache.
Yeah.
But like,
a shitty uncle.
But like, technically, this is, you know, I would say this you know, looks better than Croc does.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's high praise.
I was about to say it looks better than Mega Man Legends, but I think that game is beautiful, so
yeah. I'm not gonna go that far, but it has aged really well.
Yeah,
beautiful is a strong word. I'll say pretty.
We haven't recorded that episode yet.
Yeah, let's not get into it. Well, let's just get into it. Let's do a stealth Mega Man Legends episode in the middle of this.
Nope. We need to save that juice. We need to save the juice.
I think the house that he's in looks good.
Yep.
But then immediately once you get into one of the play environments, it looks really lazy and shitty.
Mm.
Like, and it's just, there's just not enough things.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in the medieval castle or whatever, there's not enough objects to look like a cool environment or look good.
I think at that point I'm more like dazzled by the texture and by the fact that it moves very smoothly. Like, this isn't an era of games that ever actually ran well. And like, this doesn't fall into, a lot of people corrected me because I erroneously said that the PS1 didn't have a Z buffer. It's actually because when they're doing 3D stuff, it rounds to the nearest integer, I think. So that's what gets you like the warpy floors and stuff like that. I think maybe because the environments are so small, doesn't fall prey to that. And I could see a much more competent game being made with this technology that would have looked amazing for the time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, like, some of the smoothness, I think some of the smoothness of the way that things move around contributes to like the general kind of gross feel of it. Like, nothing feels like it has weight or exists in the world.
Yeah.
And part of it is that unnatural smoothness.
That's an animation problem, not like a technical like frame rate jankiness problem.
No, it's definitely not a frame rate thing or anything. I guess it's just like, you know, as a tech demo, sure, but mm-hmm. there's so little artistry in this.
Yeah.
Like there's no craft or care put into this game. Like it doesn't, it's excelling at one thing that doesn't matter and while failing at like 10 things that really do,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like, yes, you know, it's fine. Like it's like, oh man, that bloated washed up, like raccoon on the side of the road has nice teeth. Like let's bring it home. Like,
I'm not saying bring it home, man. I'm just saying, like, huh, look at those teeth. That's weird.
You got a stack full of rascals in your house. Don't lie to me,
Gary. Oh man, I hate the combat in this game so goddamn much.
It's really bad.
The aforementioned turn and run problem makes it so that you cannot do any kind of fine adjustments, and if you don't have enough juice for your bubble gun, you don't have any range on your attacks.
Yeah, and if you the things take way too many hits. So if like you're fighting a humanoid or a knight, it just kind of walks towards you. You're mm-hmm. not going to kill it before it gets to you. And you can't, like, move out of the way properly. Like, you can't dodge it when it gets close to you. Like, if you back away, you're going to back away at this, like, crawl. Mm-hmm. And if you turn to run, it's just going to hit you in the side.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have... You're not maneuverable in a way that the game wants you to be maneuverable.
And a game that the game kind of demands that you be.
Yeah. And who is Rascal to make demands on me?
Rascal, I don't know you. I don't know you shit. You yeah, walk into you this house. Rascal. You're 40.
You're going to come to my house? You're going to be a play on my computer? You're going to make demands of me?
This was actually recommended by three other people.
Wow, this could have been a raffle.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was in the running. Like, it probably could have just been pulled up. But no, this by Rob, by Burger Champ, and by Zesty Does Things.
Do any of them have pertinent statements?
I remember getting this game at Blockbuster, RIP in peace, for a week way back when. I also remember it being more fun, but I doubt I got past the first level. Says a quick YouTube search reveals that this is the... okay, so Burger Champ writes in saying, think Bubsy was a rad dude? Party on, Rascal.
Rascal does get to party on.
Yeah, Rascal definitely... do you think canonically Rascal is Bubsy's owner?
I guess that's true, because the way that like owners tend to start resembling their pets.
Wait, so Bubsy moved in, like Rascal was
he's like a straight A student.
Yeah, just like a good
Bernard from Maniac Mansion.
Yep, a straight A student. He had a fondness for philately.
Puzzles. And then Bubsy was just like, you know, I guess, I don't know, like Bubsy can talk. Yeah. So Bubsy would probably talk to Rascal. Or can Bubsy just talk to us? Do you think if Bubsy was in the world of humans, like humans can understand him? Or do you think that Bubsy can just break the fourth wall?
Gary, I can barely understand Bubsy when he talks. Yeah, it just sounds like, rawr, rawr,
yeah. So Rascal's probably like, all right, I like that cat style.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the mirror and turns his hat the other way, like slowly. Mm-hmm. Or he keeps turning it back forward, but every time he looks in the mirror, it's backwards.
No, just very gradually. Like just an angle off each time.
Yeah, he falls asleep and he wakes up with his hat backwards. Like the corrupting presence of Bubsy in his house is slowly ratifying. And not like the way the Constitution
it's ratifying him like a bill. No, and his eyes are just like the pupils are slowly dilating.
Yeah.
until he's so sensitive to light that he cannot operate without his shades.
Yeah, he no longer needs his prescription glasses. it's like when Spider-Man gets his Spider-Man powers.
Uh-huh.
He wakes up one day, he just like throws a thick wad of Probo out of his palm and like puts on his shades to go adventure and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And that gun fused to his hand. It's like a video drum kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually made of flesh. It's like Pokemon clothing. It's like the gun from Exostens. It shoots spit bubbles, and then you can get a certain cartridge towards that makes it fire teeth.
There's some really delightful really delightful game pack stuff. One of the boards, the topic says false advertising. This is by Wander of Time 7. This is 5 years ago, so 2011, saying there's this quote robotic dragon unquote on the cover of the CD case and the instruction booklet, yet nowhere to be seen in the game. I like this game for the nostalgia value, but this just adds to the quote half-ass and half-asses ... nature of the game. Just hilarious.
Oh geez. No, nobody took the bite on this.
Nope.
No one was like, I want to engage in this argument. Like this wanderer of time 7 seems like a cool dude to argue with on the GameFAQs message board.
And nothing on his profile, so I think this was just a drive-by.
Yeah. Well, this is the place online. If you want to talk about Rascal, this is the place.
Yep. This podcast claims to be about bad video games.
Yeah.
But and nowhere yet, in the podcast
do they actually talk about the games. They just talk about American Gladiators.
All the time. Gary, we record for 7 hours. I cut out all the American Gladiator chat.
Yeah.
And it comes out to about 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's all right. I figure that, I've been sending the snippets to Turbo personally.
Okay, cool. Yeah, his mail's been coming to me, or your mail from him has been coming to me. He's, all he says is take the hint. It's, sorry, I didn't mean to do this in public.
I'll take anything he wants. I don't know what them shits. I'm looking for the one of the reviews says the commercial is more entertaining than the game, so I'm trying to find the Rascal TV commercial.
Hmm.
But I can't seem to find it.
Yeah, that seems like one of those pieces of ephemera that is lost to time.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the idea. I wonder if it's like, maybe it'll end up in like archive.org.
Oh, yeah.
As like a .wmv file that you have to download. Like a shot.
a real-time file.
Yeah, a real-time file. Like, you have to actually, install a thing.
Real media. I just conflated. player. There we go. That's not QuickTime. QuickTime still plays.
According to one of these reviews, unless you want the ultimate recipe for a drilling headache that no aspirin will cure, there's no reason to play Rascal at all.
Huh, is that somebody like pretending to be a human?
Yeah, like I would like the ultimate recipe for a drilling headache that no aspirin will cure. Like, I'll create that and give it to my enemies. I'll turn that back on Rascal himself. That's his only weakness. Get the mirror shield, man.
Is that a laser tag reference?
or just like, anything where you reflect stuff back at the owner. Are there mirror shields and laser tag?
Yeah. So this is bleeding over from the Exquisite Suffering coming up here pretty soon. But I played laser tag here recently, and there's a lot of strategy to laser tag. Insofar as, at least in the place that I went, which was pirate themed inexplicably, you can shoot each other, you can shoot the kind of the high value targets in the other team's base, or intermittently they have these LED kind of packs up on different parts of the wall in these kind of vaguely defensible positions. And if you shoot them after pressing a button on your vest, what happens is anybody who does damage to you will take damage instead.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so what I set up was we camped out in the enemy's base on the lower floor so they couldn't see us, but we could still see the high value target. And I was circulating people through to get shields, go up, take a couple shots, come back, and then guard all the other all the points of ingress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you stomp those 7-year-olds? Did your adult strategy really destroy the local teens?
Yeah. Well, Gary, so here there are two kinds of people who play laser tag. You got the 7-year-olds, you got the little kids. They're fast. They score a lot of points because you can't really hit them. Okay, but you also have people like us, people in the late 20s who are just there on a lark. Now they're your real competition. It's kind of like an MOBA. The 7-year-olds are the minions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say about that. No, I really think I ruined the game by telling people what to do.
when I played laser tag when I was younger, the way you would defeat the enemies is by shooting either their vest or their gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the strategy was to hold your gun in a way that you couldn't shoot it.
Right.
Is that still the case?
That was definitely part of the case, but it was also the back. And this also had like shoulder targets and stuff like that. So what I think that is meant to do is keep you from just kind of posting up and blind firing around a corner because you can still be hit.
Yeah, you can't just put your gun out there.
Yeah. So that I think, but the gun is also a lower value target.
Yeah.
No, and like the guns are more precise than I remember them being from when I was a little kid. Like I could actually see the stream of the laser, but there was no fog.
Okay.
So I didn't have to inhale liquid fog and get sick and probably die of horrible things later.
Fog lung. That's good. Yeah, because the fog juice smells awful.
Yeah.
And being in a foggy place smells bad.
Yeah.
in general. That's pretty cool. That makes me want to play laser tag.
Yeah, I this was on a lark with some work friends, and yeah, I was totally I was down. I'd probably do it again, actually.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I had a fun day yesterday.
Okay, we're done with
Rascal. I'm out of Rascal Things. I hate him. I wish he's dead. I went and saw the Book of Mormon.
Oh wow, is that playing in Portland?
Yeah, and it's playing in Portland. It's directed by one of the guys. Like, is actually like traveling with it.
Oh wow!
And because I'm a girl, I'm seeing got tickets. Who is an ex-Mormon?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just, it was interesting. Like, it's really good. But I guess I didn't know this, but like, I guess a lot of times ex-Mormons like kind of follow it. Like people follow the Grateful Dead.
Really?
Like you go in like, yeah, like see it like multiple times. Like we went to a meetup thing afterwards and some of the people there were like, I've seen it like 9 times. I've seen it 10, you know?
I mean, so it probably matches. So what I've heard is, yes, it makes fun of the content of the Book of Mormon, but it's actually kind of reverent of the Mormon people themselves.
It can. It's generally pretty sympathetic to people.
Yeah.
What I was surprised about it is that it is very makes fun of the specifics of Mormonism, but by proxy, the specifics of all religions.
Okay.
And is very kind to the idea of religion in general.
Okay.
Which I was really surprised by. Like the whole point of it is the idea. So it sets off this idea that like, yeah, Joseph Smith was crazy and just made up a bunch of shit to scam a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter because that helped them. And then the same thing happens in the play. Like somebody else makes up a bunch of shit,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually better shit than, you know, it's all bonkers, but it actually helps people live better lives. So that's what mm-hmm. matters. Which is like a kind of endearing, like, you know, like the dogma and rules of religion don't really matter.
Right.
You know, if it's like religion is only as good as it helps people be happy,
yeah,
and be better people.
And to a certain extent, it doesn't matter why they're doing it. The fact that people are taking fresh water to Haiti is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like and that's always the part of religion that I can get down with. Like I don't think religion is necessary for that,
mm-hmm.
but it is. You know,
it's a good facilitator.
Well, if it gets people to do it, great. Right.
Yeah,
you know, like that's wonderful. But like it's just kind of it's condemning of, and it's really weird because I'm so used to those guys. Like my take on those guys is that they don't want to have a stake in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't like, I feel like South Park is really cowardly and shitty because it doesn't take any stands on anything. It's mm-hmm. always just like everyone's stupid.
Yeah. It's a status quo.
Yeah. Like we're looking down on everybody. Like, yes, like here, let's present a problem. The people who present the problem are stupid, but the people caught, you know, fighting against her are equally stupid.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's like a deeply nihilistic, you know, show that I feel like is really hard to get into. And this actually had kind of a point. And it's really enjoyable in general. Like it's really funny and the songs are good.
Yeah. Like I was going to ask, I haven't heard any of the music. I've seen like scenes, but yeah. In terms of musical composition, is it, mm-hmm. is it good?
Yeah, it's super catchy. Like it's really good. The songs are really good.
Hmm.
Super catchy. Lots of that like thing that's so impressive to me in musicals where like songs constantly quote earlier songs. Like a line from an earlier song will end up mm-hmm. in a later song, and it seamlessly quotes it musically.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because the songs all are kind of similar melodically.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can do that. But it's it was really great. But it was just interesting. This whole kind of subset. Like afterwards, I was talking to and ex-Mormons are really bitter atheists a lot of the time.
I can see that
because it is there are a lot. It's a really problematic religion, Cole.
Oh yeah, like, no, that's like, I've read about it.
It's not just like it's not just bonkers,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's also like there's lots of kind of like meat, and you know, if anyone's listening who is Mormon, I don't mean this personally, but there's a lot of things like that are tenets of the actual church that are very like feel very manipulative to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I wouldn't take it away from anybody. If you know, if it helps you and it helps you do good, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, and I sincerely mean that. But it is it is just from the outside and hearing this audience specifically talk about it, like mm-hmm. sitting at a table with a bunch of people who
were they exchanging war stories?
Yeah, more or less.
Huh.
Like just like bad things that have happened to them, ways that they had been manipulated, ways that like
manipulated to stay or.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I heard a story and it was about this girl who and this is pretty horrific. So I should probably throw a warning on here for people who are sensitive to don't like to really, really troubling stories in this fun comedy podcast about Rascal. but she had left the church and they they were continuously sending like kind of missionaries, right, you know, to her. I guess I don't know if they were specifically missionaries. I don't know what the word is, but sending people to the, you know, kind of emissaries, yeah, to kind of try to get her back. And she ended up having a baby, and the baby died because it was an accidental home birth, which is, I guess, like a really scary thing that can happen. Right. You know, because if you, you know, because people like it's always kind of a joke, that idea of like, I didn't know I was pregnant, but then you find out, oh, actually that happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's really scary and is just like totally possible, you know? Yeah. And it's finding humor in that, which I am guilty of doing, is kind of classist, because people who don't know they're pregnant often don't know they're pregnant because they don't have access to, you know, medical care or support structures that encourage them to get medical care, mm-hmm, where they would find that out. But it was an accident. And then, the people from the church were just relentless at that point. Like, it sounded very vulture-like.
Like, you're really vulnerable right now because of this tragedy. Yeah.
Like, this
shouldn't
is all
you find solace
God's plan
in.
God,
oh,
needed
fuck
your kid for some reason. You know, you should take this as a, you know, this is a message. Like, God needed your kid and needs you back. Yeah. And, like, just horrific.
Yeah.
Like, you know, really gross stuff.
It was kind of heartbreaking to hear. It's heartbreaking to hear stuff like that. And it's also heartbreaking to hear just how regressive a lot of their outward and inward policies are, because I grew up around like a small enclave of Mormon people. Like, mm-hmm, there was a, you know, a handful of people in my high school who were Mormon, and they were just like the nicest possible people.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they treated me very nice and treated everybody, you know, very kindly, not in like a Stepford kind of way, like, oh, there's something up here, but like, huh, like it's to the point where it bums me out to hear, yeah, that's behind it.
Well, of course there like are people who that's not true of.
Oh yeah.
You know, like there, I'm sure that most of the people who are in, and I'm sure of this to the degree that the people who I was at the meetup with probably aren't, mm-hmm, like they were more bitter about it than I was, obviously, mm-hmm, where I'm like, I don't think that's the majority of people. I just think that it's a system in place that allows for that kind of thing. Yeah. And there's some complicitness in that system,
mm-hmm,
you know, because of that. And they've got a really, like, I guess now being either like having, being a kid with like gay parents, like having, being a kid in a same sex couple is now like a red card violation. Like, they have different levels of violations. The rules, it's like, I got it because of my experience like reading comics and playing D&D and stuff. Like, it's very, mm-hmm, like there's lots of magic and lots of like rules that are similar to that, but there's these different levels of like violations you can have,
mm-hmm,
and now that's been up to like the ultimate violation, you know.
Wow.
And it's really weird, like it targets, that's the kids for whom it's the, and they have to have like a hearing. Like, there's this word for like, it's like a, it's like, and it's, the hearing is called something like a tribunal of love or something. Like, it's got like a name that's very,
that's really
like,
yeah, really, like double, yeah, speak kind of thing.
I'm getting some details wrong, and if anybody writes in, write directly,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah,
you don't need to involve Cole in this. Like, I will take ownership over, you know, my hearsay, or not hearsay in a literal, mm-hmm, sense. Like, it is, yeah, stuff that I don't know for sure, but heard other people talk about. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, put an asterisk about like on that too. Like, this is just me talking to a bunch of people who are understandably bitter, but
yeah,
I haven't done the research myself.
Yeah,
but yeah. It is, it was just like, it was kind of a bummer in a way that like was a nice counterpoint to seeing the play,
mm-hmm,
because the play was not saying like any of these people were bad people or that they didn't do good things. Like, it was just saying all of these kind of like the window dressing that you're hanging so much importance on is actively detrimental,
mm-hmm,
which I think is generally true of religion.
Yeah.
Like, I think that kind of like overcomplicating things to that degree is not going to help.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just like, hey, it's right to give water to people in Haiti, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's kind of why I've been thinking about finding a Unitarian church.
Yeah, the girl I'm seeing is a Unitarian.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's a, yeah.
I'm very intrigued by that notion the more I read about it. And I have been interested since I was in like high school and stuff. Like, my grandma is in one. My grandma on my dad's side is mm-hmm, is in there and gets a lot of satisfaction out of it, to the point where it's like, you know what, like having that community might be kind of cool. But
yeah, if you I think that it'd be a good thing if you want that. Yeah. You know, like, I thought about it too. If I were going to join a church, that'd obviously be what it is. I just don't feel like I have that longing for community.
Yeah.
That a lot of people do, but like, that's great. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's, I love that that's available for people, and it's available in a non-religious sense,
mm-hmm,
you know? And like the kind of like the rules, like learning about Unitarianism has been really awesome, because it's, mm-hmm, like, there's not it just feels very kind,
yeah,
in a weird way. Like, there's not like, you don't have to believe in God. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't have to, like, they're atheists in the church, but you can't believe in hell. Like, they don't preach hell.
Right.
Because what a terrible idea that is. Like, how awful is it that, like, that's something we tell kids? Like, I don't know. I cannot get on board with belief. Like, I can understand, I'm more sympathetic to people who are believing, like, I don't believe in God, but I'm more sympathetic to people who believe in God than I am people who believe in hell.
Because
that's just, like, what a terrible idea. What a terrible, like, profoundly awful thing to tell somebody or to threaten a kid with, or, like, say is possible if a kid doesn't, like, do certain things.
It's, you know? It's always nice to see, like, occasionally stories will pop up about somebody who was kicked out of their church because they refused to preach it.
Yeah.
Refused to preach, you know, the hell side of things.
Cause it's just awful. Like, what it, like, and cause, you know, a kid doesn't understand.
That'll fuck you up.
Yeah. That it just feels so, to me, like, so obviously wrong of a thing to do, you know? And the counterpoint, or, like, the argument for, would be like, you know, nobody's doing it to be manipulative, or some people probably are, but most people aren't doing it to be manipulative. They actually believe that, and they're trying to stop the kid from facing this consequence. But, like, it's a really fucked up thing to tell somebody who can't neurologically understand the world.
Yeah, and it seems very kind of designed to take advantage of somebody whose only understanding of consequence is pain.
Yeah, yeah, because exactly. It's not a, you know, they don't understand things like guilt, you know, or like the kind of like, this was the wrong thing to, like, I had the opportunity to make things better and I didn't. And that's the punishment, you know, which is how adults, like, are encouraged to do good things. Like, when I do good things, it's because I want to make the world, I'm at a choice where it's like, I can make the world better or I can not, or I can make the world worse, you know, and I will choose the better because that's generally what being good is. And that's worth it in and of itself.
Right.
You know, so that feeling I get when I don't do that feeling of kind of shame and laziness and stuff that is inherent in me is not something that kids have.
Right.
So they have to, it's why you spank kids or why you, like, you know, you do things like that, because pain is, everyone understands that.
Right.
And it's like to zero in on that feels very monstrous to me. I don't know. Again, direct all hate mail about this to me, because leave Cole out of this. I don't want you to have to, like, wade through a bunch of shit. I will stand by what I'm saying, and also open to, like, talking about things I'm legitimately getting wrong. But as far as just, you know, my relationship with the idea, like, that's where I'm landing on it.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you. Like, it's you know, but we all have our own journey towards that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's kind of got their own truth, which sounds like a descent into a subjective slurry. But in reality, like, the commonalities between the good sides of all this stuff, you know, at least from my point of view, all lead to kind of better conditions for everybody. So that is not as much of a platitude as it seems. I hope.
It should also be noted that, like, everyone who is in my life now who is religious are some of my favorite and best people who I've ever met. And most of the people I know who are religious don't go in for the parts of this that are the worst. You know, like, they don't like it either. Like, I know people who belong to religions that are, you know, anti-gay and don't practice that. They just don't go along with that part. You know, they're like, I'm just not going to, and they don't have that kind of pressure to, and they're fine being selectively, you know, following the faith.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't mean to go all like, well, I've got a Christian friend, but, like, Dennis from The Level, he's one of my best friends in the whole world. And he's very devout in his faith, you know, but he has none of that, you know, bigotry or anything associated with it.
Dennis is great.
Yeah.
Like, Dennis is a super nice dude and, like, seems genuinely, like, I don't know him as well as you do, but everything I know about him is that he is really, really genuinely good hearted.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine him telling a kid that if a kid doesn't do something, he's going to go to hell.
Right.
You know, and like, that doesn't mean that, like, I don't actually know that, but it's just hard for me to imagine him doing that because like, I don't think he's that way. And like, I have my oldest Portland friends, like Ellen and Noah, are like really religious and are the best people I know. Like,
they're great.
They're just, you know, they're great. Like, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, and they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's not something I'm condemning the people.
No.
Like, similar to the Book of Mormon. It's like
don't judge the people, judge the system. Yeah.
Yeah. The systems in place, I feel like, allow, if not encourage, at least allow for a system that is explicitly based on morality should not allow for that level of immorality. You know, if so, then it is failing at what it's trying to do, and just could be retooled.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and if what we're talking about now is excruciating to you, I'm sorry, but this is a genuine conversation.
It's going to happen every once in a while. Like, I went and saw a play about religion.
Yep.
Like, you play Rascal and talk about Rascal for a half hour.
Yeah. Like, no, but like, this is a human connection, right? Like, it's not for, like, it's so strange that there's that concentration of it. Like,
yeah.
that is a bizarre pocket of experience that you just kind of wandered into.
Yeah. And it was generally like genuinely very, like, I keep saying genuinely, just keep in mind that I'm being genuine.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. Like, mm-hmm. it was just fascinating from like a human to human standpoint to hear people talk about like the stories of like their falling out and where it did. Like, there's a guy who I talked to who like, lost like almost all of his family.
Oh.
Right. Because like they were all in the church and they were just like, we can't, you know, accept you. I just kind of lost them. But his wife stayed with him mm-hmm. and left afterwards. And it was just like watching him, like the emotion of just being like, yeah, like she went on this, like, you know, didn't like, and she was still, they had a period where she was still in the church, mm-hmm. you know, and he wasn't. And like, she just kind of like, and she ended up ultimately leaving too. But like this, and like just watching him be so touched,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the idea of like this one person standing by him, whereas this family wouldn't. And he like, you know, he wanted his family.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he rejected them.
Right.
You know, and so, I was just like the pain in this dude's voice. Like, how is this okay? How is this a system that makes like mm-hmm. it's your son, dude? Like, yeah. that's your brother.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Not to like, you know, again, just break everything down to like, why can't everyone be nice?
But I think that like, I'm fascinated by this, and I'm drawing more of it out, even though we are really up against time and we're gonna have to change our recording
plans. Yeah.
Like, I'm drawing this out because like, I don't know, my relationship with this stuff isn't as complicated as that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not as dramatic, or there's not really that much of a story behind it. Just one day I decided I didn't feel it, and there was no repercussion to it, aside from maybe slightly disappointing my grandma in that one avenue of my life. Mm-hmm. Like that's really it. And so like, I'm, you know, kind of drawn to stories like that just because it is, you know, like that is a certain kind of heartbreaking that like, mm-hmm. I don't really, or it's a certain kind of heartbreak that I do not have in my life. And yeah, I zero in on that. Go ahead.
If your family was like, it could have though,
yeah.
Like, it's something that happens to people. It's just a testament to your family and their support and love of you that mm-hmm. doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, or didn't happen rather. Yeah. I don't know, man. It is just, I can't like systems that encourage, like the older I get, mm-hmm. the more important like kindness and happiness are
mm-hmm.
to me. And like things that are generally kind.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to choose a different, less like soft and plush word for that.
Yeah. Humane.
Humane. Right.
Like that is number one. Like that's the metric by which systems mm-hmm. should be judged and matter. Like,
yeah. I don't know.
Ugh, Rascal.
why'd you dredge this up, Rascal?
Yeah, damn you, Rascal. If you don't like this, honestly, you should be blaming Rascal.
Well, that's just a different kind of hell.
Yeah, that's like, Rascal is really the person who's responsible for this. What are we doing next time, Cole?
Well, Gary, next time we are going to be covering a game called Omicron the Nomad Soul.
Suggested by maybe somebody.
Yes, there are a couple, especially after Mr. Bowie's death. They came flooding in, but there's been a low-level hum of requesting this, A, because they know how much you hate Quantic Dream,
yes.
and B, because it really is a very weird game.
And I want to do it because of my hatred for Quantic Dream is only matched by my love of David Bowie. So it is it's a real, you know, it's a real personal hell for that. I'm looking forward to it. Nobody, this didn't come up in the raffle. This is just our Bowie tribute
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah, and we will call out the people who requested this.
Yes, even if it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
We still get your credit.
We put our thumb on the scale from time to time.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So thanks everybody who suggested Rascal. Mm-hmm. Sorry if this was not like it feels like a monkey's paw kind of thing.
Thank you, Garrett, for inadvertently sponsoring and thus endorsing everything we said.
Yeah.
No, we really appreciate your support, and I'm sorry if like this episode made you uncomfortable because of the it's not really a left turn, it's more of like a dog leg or a hairpin. we really took this one off the rails.
It's not that there's not a the way that my life works and the way that recording fits into my life is that like if something came up that's you know impactful, like it's gonna come up at some point.
Oh yeah, no, it's gotta come out somewhere. And like,
yeah, it's
and
this
come is
out somewhere, and like, yeah,
this is the place where that goes. Like, I actively withhold conversation, which is weird. I try not to burn Abject Suffering cast on like the prelude to other cast.
Yeah,
so
yeah, me too.
So like, this is the place where it's most likely to come out because this is the release valve.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I went into that genuinely just thinking of again that genuine word that I'm overusing. just thinking of talking about the Book of Mormon, the show, but
yeah.
It was a bigger, it wasn't just the show. It was like a weird, bigger experience than that.
Yeah. It was the situation around it.
Yes.
That was human.
Yeah.
And it genuine.
Yes. It was human and genuine in exactly the way that Rascal's not. if you want to support the show, if you want to hear us talk about religion every week, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and donate us a buck or two a month. Mm-hmm. $2 gets you on our Slack channel, which is a super fun place where you can chat with other fans and on myriad topics and with us. Yeah. Things that are really great.
Mm-hmm. And If you want premium episodes of the show, you can either back on Patreon at a certain level and vote for those on our Abject Suffrage / Exquisite Suffering initiatives, or you can go to duckfeed.tv/store and buy those after they come out. They're delayed for a short time for the public, and they're available for a very reasonable sum.
Mm-hmm. And then ratings, reviews on iTunes are always appreciated. Mm-hmm. Hit us up there and telling people about the show if you think they would like it. Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Who's a good boy?
Who is a good boy?
Who's a good dog? Yeah, there we go. Who's a good dog?
Who's a good dog?
Will this dog go to hell?
Yeah. All dogs go to hell.